So Lord's pastimes out of Vrindavan now. The previous chapter was Buddha was remembering Lord's pastimes within Vrindavan. In the second chapter, the main themes we discussed were Uddhava's exalted position. As you all may remember, how even in old age, he had great spirit of service, correct? That was one thing we saw. And his ecstatic symptoms, and since childhood he has been worshipping the Krishna dolls, you know, worshipping, doing puja for the Lord, that he even forgot what? Breakfast. Correct, no? All those things. And then as soon as Uddhava asked the question about Krishna, then he went into ecstatic bliss. So, it becomes evident Uddhava was very exalted spiritual position. Then another main thing was the unfortunate situation of the Yadus and others who took Krishna for granted. They could not understand Krishna's value. So that was 4 or 5 verses were focusing on that. That means only pure devotees know Krishna's actual position. Other people don't know, including the Yadus also thought of him like a fish, thinking that the moon is also one of the fishes from the milk ocean, like that. And then Uddhava remembering the attractive beauty of Krishna. And one was about Krishna's attraction, another one is about Krishna's mercy. You see, all through the Bhakti Shastras, you will find these two descriptions. Krishna's attraction and Krishna's mercy or compassion. So at least one out of these two should be attractive to you. All of you ask yourself, which one is very attractive to you? Either Krishna's attractiveness should attract us. Or Krishna's compassionate nature has to be attractive to us. These are the two powerful weapons of Krishna by which he charms the devotees towards them. Therefore, those two verses, Aho Bhakki Yam Stanaka Lakutam, that is what? Krishna's mercy, compassion. And the other verse, Barha Pedam Natavarava Pukarna Yor Karnikaram, that is attraction. The beauty, sweetness, and attraction of Krishna. So, if we have greed for Krishna's attractive feature, or we are attracted to the Lord's compassionate nature, so we also endeavor to attain Him. So that is how the jiva is impelled to rise from a sluggish platform. Therefore, here also if you see Uddhava, in the verses 12, 13, 14, he is talking about attractive beauty of the Lord. And then he is talking about the mercy of the Lord and His bewildering activities, 15 to 24. Yeah, that is major portion. And then very sweet description, in nine verses, last nine verses of the chapter, pastimes in Vraja. Different pastimes. So, overall, in the second chapter, we discussed about Uddhava's absorption. So, who is the hero of chapter 1? Vidura. Who is hero of chapter 2? Like that. You can remember. Because why is Vidura the hero in chapter 1? Because how he took the insult of Duryodhana and turned it into a positive situation, how he went on pilgrimage, he met Maitreya, correct, no? All those things. So the whole camera is on whom? Vidura only, the first chapter. In the second chapter, Vidura does meet Uddhava and ask him a question, but he asked the question, but the whole camera is turned towards whom? Uddhava. Therefore, in the second chapter, Uddhava is the hero, you see. Now we are proceeding to the third chapter. This is it. Say, you can bring my Krishna book from my bureau. Just now. No, silver color. Silver color book, thick one. See, in verses 1 to 9, Krishna's education and marriages, that is, first 9 verses. Then another 6 verses on killing of demons and Kurukshetra war. And then 16 to 23 Krishna in Dwaraka. And then the last 4 verses leading events leading to the annihilation of Yadus. There's a description about it in the disappearance of Yadus is explained in the 4th chapter, a little more elaborately. And then Uddhava Lord meeting Uddhava and Maitreya comes in the 4th chapter also, like that it goes. So, in the 4th chapter, the whole focus is on Lord sitting with Uddhava and Maitreya. That's the whole focus on 4th chapter. In the 3rd chapter, what is the focus in the 3rd chapter? If you see, Krishna is the focus. Because in 2nd chapter, Uddhava speaking is the focus. Whereas in 3rd chapter, if you see, Krishna's education, Krishna's marriage, Krishna killing demons, Krishna conducting Kurukshetra war, Krishna in Dwaraka, and then the associates of Krishna in Dwaraka, namely Yadus, what they did. So the whole 3rd chapter focus is on Krishna, but Krishna outside Vrindavan. Correct, huh? Like that. So the speaker is only who? Uddhava only. But the focus is on Krishna. If you simply read the 3rd chapter, you will remember Krishna, Krishna, Krishna only everywhere. But in the 2nd chapter, the hero is Uddhava. Why? Because how Uddhava felt ecstasy, how he cried tears, and how he had service attitude, those things are also highlighted in 2nd chapter. You got it, no? So, now, here also, I don't know how many themes I made in the third chapter. Oh, sorry. How many? Okay, at least 3rd chapter we will try to finish today. Huh? I am supposed to finish 3rd in the morning, I think, correct? So at least now I will finish 3rd. I think we'll try to keep a pace. And I am supposed to finish 1, 2, 3, 4 and chapter 18, 19 of the 1st canto I have already done. 18 I have done. 19 homework I have given you all. Huh? I have supplied you the themes for 19. Okay, so that is done. Chapter 1, 2, 3, 4 and chapter one more 13 chapter I'm supposed to do. Yeah, that may not happen, I think. But at least today we'll try to do 3 and tomorrow morning we'll try to do 4. At least we'll finish it. Okay. 13 we'll keep an hour. I'm teaching next time, I'll cover there. We're a little bit dragging like a goods train. Just slowly. You cannot go very fast. Yeah. He is saying we are getting a lot of goods, he is saying. Of course, you are getting a lot of themes you are getting. So now let us go to the 3rd chapter. This 3rd chapter has how many verses? 28 verses only. Okay. Verse number 1, you read the translation. Only the translation you read.
Sri Uddhava said, "Thereafter Lord Krishna went to Mathura city with Sri Baladeva, and to please their parents, they dragged Kamsa, the leader of public enemies, down from his throne and killed him, pulling him along the ground with great strength."
Yeah. This is about killing of Kamsa, the very first thing that was saying. Actually, in the last few lines, Prabhupada's writing, when the two brothers attacked Kamsa on the throne, Krishna Balaram's parents, they feared that now Kamsa would finally get the opportunity to kill their sons, whom they had hidden for so long in the house of Nanda Maharaj. So they were very, very fearful, out of love. Their fear arose from love. The parents of the Lord, due to parental affection, felt extreme danger, and they almost fainted. Just to convince them that they had actually killed Kamsa, Krishna and Baladev pulled Kamsa's dead body along the ground to encourage them. It says. So, here Prabhupada says in the beginning, Kamsa's death is only briefly described here, because such pastimes are vividly elaborated in the 10th canto later on. Yeah. So, here you will see that Uddhava, he's just recollecting in one shloka about one very elaborately explained pastime. There in 10th canto you go, there are full chapters on this pastime, very elaborate description. Yeah. The most important thing for those who study Bhagavatam is to see what kind of emotions arise in the heart of devotees while dealing with Krishna. And so the Lord and the devotee and the devotional exchange of emotions between the Lord and the devotee. This is actually the central theme of Bhagavatam everywhere. Here, like we say, a devotee is fearless, we say. But when Kamsa is being attacked by Krishna Balaram, his pure devotees are fearful. But where is their fear arising from? Arising from love. Arising from love for Krishna and Balaram. So that fear is transcendental fear. Produced due to intense love. So in this way, let's go to second verse. Read the translation of the second one.
The Lord learned all the Vedas with their different branches simply by hearing them once from his teacher Sandipani Muni, whom he rewarded by bringing back his dead son from the region of Yamalok.
Yeah. So you all know this. See in the purport, read the first. First few lines is talking about bringing the dead body of the teacher's son, Sandipani Muni's son, back. So this is very important information, which is frequently used by Vaishnava teachers. Because this is not an ordinary thing. There is no other history of somebody going to Yama's abode and bringing back. You know the Savitri, Satyavan Savitri story, where Yama was about to take the body of Satyavan, isn't it? So she said, Yamaraj felt pity for Savitri and he told her that I will give you some blessing. Then she said she wanted a son, you know. And he said, Tadastu, he said. She said, how can I have a son without the husband? So give him back to, bring him back to life. Then Satyavan was given to her. So in this way, Yamaraj, before even taking only, she finished the business. She took the husband back. So that story is a very glorified one. But besides that, you will not hear that somebody went to Yama's abode and somebody went to Yama's abode and brought him back. So there is one shloka. Please repeat this. Guru putra mihanitam nija karma nibandhanam anayasva maharaja mat shasana puraskritaha. Very auspicious verse. You know what he is saying? Guru putram iha anitam, my guru's son has come here to your abode, O Yama. Like that Krishna tells Yama, when he reaches the Yama's abode and plays on his shank, and then Yama comes and offers namaskar to him. Can you ever see Yama doing namaskar to anybody, ordinarily? Generally, all living entities do namaskar to Yama at the time of death. So Yama bows down to Krishna and asks, sir, how can I serve you? And then Krishna is telling, Guru Putram iha anitam, my guru's son has come here. Why he has come here to Yama's abode? Nija karma nibandhanam. By his own karma, some bad karma, we don't know what was in his account. But he has become bound by that karma, he's saying. And then he's saying, Anayasva, bring him here. Maharaja. He says, oh, Yamaraj, bring him to me now. Then Yamaraj might ask, what about his karmic account, sinful account? He says, mat shasana puraskrita, cancel it. On my word, he's saying. Like that he says. So that's a very special verse. This is quoted by Rupa Goswami in the 64 qualities. Where he says that, bhakta prarabdha vidvamsam. This is the 64, one of the 64 qualities. Bhakta prarabdha vidvamsam. He says that he destroys the prarabdha karma. Aham tvam sarva papebhyo. For that, this is a proof. He can destroy the sinful reactions and bring the son of his guru back. Why? And then Yamaraj may, of course, Yamaraj didn't ask. Now, Chakravarti Thakur raises some questions which might have come in the mind of Yama also. He's saying, Yamaraj might ask, sir, why should you cancel this boy's sinful account and not punish him? And Krishna gives answer internally also. What is Krishna saying? He says, because Sandipani Muni's son is son of who? He's son of Krishna's guru. Therefore, his account should be cancelled. That is the answer. Like the Chakravarti Thakur writes. He's son of Krishna's guru. Therefore, his account is cancelled. Similarly, the Muslim tailor who got bhakti by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Why, how he got bhakti? Because our Srivas Thakur. Because Srikhas Thakur was very dear to Lord Chaitanya. So the Muslim tailor who was stitching clothes for Srivas, he also got love of God. Dukhi also got love of God. Huh? Everybody, because of the connection. Similarly, he is Krishna's guru. Therefore, his sinful account should be nullified, he says. So in this way, that is the point mentioned there. And then, see in the middle of that purport, Lord is constitutionally well-versed in the Vedas, yet to teach by example that everyone must go to learn Vedas from an authorized guru and must satisfy the guru by seva and dakshina. To teach this, the Lord accepted the guru. He himself adopted this system, he is saying. See, the Lord himself is called as Krishnam Mande. He is a Jagat Guru, Guru of all Gurus. In fact, on a practical level, you see Lord Vishnu giving knowledge to the first created living being, Brahma, in his own nabi, in the lotus when he is sitting. He is giving, then you can find Krishna giving teaching to Arjuna, and you can go on giving examples of Rishabhadev teaching, Hamsavatara teaching. Lord is a great teacher. He likes to teach also. But although he likes to teach, he likes to become a disciple also. Here he is becoming a disciple of Sandipani Muni. In Ramavatar, he becomes a disciple of Vishwamitra. Any other disciple example where Lord becomes a disciple? Ram became disciple of Vishwamitra. Chaitrama became disciple of Ishwarapuri. Correct, no? Any other example? Lord becoming disciple. It's amazing, no? Lord becoming a disciple, and like Lord Ram is asking Vishwamitra in the forest. Vishwamitra is saying, come here, Ram Lakshman, I will give you Bala and Mahabala, two great powerful weapons to you, and you have to chant some mantras. So he is awarding them, and then they are asking, Ram is asking, oh my dear sage, can you please tell me, what is the history of Ganga? How did Ganga come? Actually, Ganga is flowing from his feet only. Yes. How did Ganga come? He's asking. Amazing, no? So it's very... it is like, you are standing 16 rounds. If somebody says, can you tell me how to spell the Mahamantra? Prabhu, last 10-20 years, standing 16 rounds. And they're asking, what is Mahamantra? But you will find Lord Ram is behaving like a disciple. With Lord Ram. With Vishwamitra.
Prarabdha karma, you told, no? That it gets... So for a pure devotee, the prarabdha karma is already finished.
Yeah, correct.
But for a practicing devotee, Lord gives...
Lord will take away the prarabdha karma and keep with him. And if he become naughty, he will again send it back. I heard Giriraj Swami Maharaj says that he keeps the prarabdha karma with him. And to the proportion to which we are mischievous, that much he releases the karma.
And in Tatve Nukampa, that verse is there. In that he tells that actually some material desires are there. To remove that, he gives. Not that because of the prarabdha karma. In the purport.
Where it says? In suffering.
The suffering which comes.
Suffering he gives to purify us. But the sufferings he gives is from our account only. He takes our account to karma and keeps it. Why he keeps it with him? Because of faith in us. He trusts us that, this person has surrendered to me. But then again he finds us becoming naughty. So he will release that much, proportionately. So in this world you will see, to the degree we have bhogavritti, that much only suffering he gives. As much as you do seva, no suffering. If you are seva oriented. Correct, no? So in this way Lord can withdraw this thing. So two points are here. See, one is gratitude, another one is studentship. So one should not hesitate to become a student, even after many years of study also. There is one of the 12 aims of Shastric study called RFL. You know what is it? KNO is knowledge. UND, understanding. Like that, all this M plus M, mode and mission. Faith and conviction. Correct, no? Theological application, personal application, preaching application. These are all different. One of them is RFL. Anybody knows? SC. Anybody knows SC? Shastra Chakshus. What is RFL? Responsibility for learning. Correct? Responsibility for learning. That's one of the 12 aims also. So, Lord is showing example for responsibility for learning. So, why should we have responsibility for learning? What is the meaning of this? A preacher should always feel that, I am a jnana shunyam. I have no knowledge. Like in Shakti Buddhi, Hina, Amiyati Dina, Koramore Atma Sadha. Shakti bhi nahi, buddhi bhi nahi. Huh? I don't have buddhi, I am only buddhu. Huh? One should think like that. Because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Guru Mora Murka Dekhi Kharila Shasan. And then he says, no, Guru Mora Murka Dekhi. He considered me a fool and he told me to just chant, he says. No. So, when we consider ourselves that, I am, so many people are asking me to speak, but I am a big pujya, I have no knowledge. Huh? Therefore, I should take responsibility for my learning. I should study Prabhupada purports. Huh? I should contemplate on them and I should try to repeat them. If I don't repeat them, I will speculate. Correct, no? I will bluff from here and there. So many people invite us to come and give lectures. And if we don't refer to Shastra, we are going to surely bluff. Correct, no? And how many of you in the course of your preaching, sometimes you felt that some things we speak are not very pure? I mean, pure in the sense, they are not very shastrically sound. Sometimes we have spoken, we ourselves feel a little uneasy. Yeah. I have experienced personally, correct, no? Yeah. So we have to be careful. That is a warning for us that we should take responsibility for learning. So suddenly, if somebody is calling you to come and give a lecture, we have something to share with, which we have studied, RFL. So Lord Krishna himself is taking responsibility for being a student, and Prabhupada says, why? He himself adopted this system, he says, to teach by example that everyone must go to learn the Vedas from an authorized teacher and must satisfy the teacher by service and reward. So one example is for what? To go to a guru. Another example is to satisfy the guru by rendering service and also giving dakshina. Like that he says. So you will find many great personalities. Hanuman went to Suryadev and he learned from him also. In fact, his guru was always moving guru. He was traveling guru. So he was also walking backwards. And so you can imagine how much trouble he took to learn. So in this way we can take example from Lord's example. And then another one he says is gratitude. That Prabhupada explains below. Sandipani Muni asked something which was impossible to be done by anyone else because he was knowing the power of the Lord. And then Lord fulfilled the request. The Lord is not therefore an ingrate to anyone who renders him some sort of service. Like that he says. That means if devotees of the Lord do some loving service to Lord, they will never be disappointed in the progressive march of devotional service. That's a conclusion Prabhupada draws from this. That means the Lord's gratitude is oceanic also, even for little service. Like Muchukunda, the Lord told him, in your previous life you desire to attain me, so I have come. The Lord says, so little devotion service somebody renders, he keeps in mind. And at appropriate time, he sends the reward. Lord sends the reward. Here, he is actually grateful to Guru and he brings his son from Yamaloka here. In the same manner, you will see, as soon as Kubja offered some sandalwood pulp on Lord's forehead, immediately Lord thought, oh, she has done this service lovingly to me. How I can reciprocate? Then he gave her a very handsome body, correct, no? And you will see that how he reciprocated with the Sudama florist, how he reciprocated with Hanuman, Lord Rama, how he reciprocated. So this is another very great topic to meditate on, how the Lord reciprocates with those who do little service also. The squirrel offering little service to make Setuman, how the Lord reciprocated. And if somebody has done, even if somebody didn't do any service but desired the Lord has gone to them, like Bahulashva, Shrutadev. So these are worth thinking in the mind. Prabhupada is saying that, you know, this past time I heard in Mahabharata that once Draupadi brought some fruits to the Lord in a plate along with the knife. So when the Lord was cutting it, immediately it cut the finger a little bit. There was a little bleeding. And immediately Draupadi, who was wearing a very costly sari, Without minding the cost of the sari, she tore from the sari like this. And then she bound in Krishna's finger. And the Lord immediately said, since you have spontaneously served me, I have to reciprocate back with you. And you know how you reciprocated. For that small strip of sari, he gave unlimited saris. Correct, no? So this is an example of how he has an oceanic gratitude. The size of the sari shows how much gratitude he has. Correct, na? Isn't it? What he gave. Huh? So much so Dushasana had to faint. Huh? So, think about such pastimes of the Lord's gratitude towards his devotees. So, studentship and gratitude, two points are the highlight points in this purport. Studentship, to set an example for us. So, one question we have to ask ourselves. If Lord becomes a student, how I can hesitate to be a student? Can I ever think that I am very senior, I am very advanced, itna saal ho gaya, I don't have to be a student. For Lord, how many years are over? He is the oldest person. Adhyam Purana Purusham. And he is becoming student. Why should we hesitate? Correct, no? In this world, any field you want to flourish, we have to become a student. P.T. Usha, even for running also, she has a coach. When I first heard it, I was surprised. For running from here to there, why do you need a coach? Isn't it? I used to think like that. You know? Isn't it? Just run, that's all. But she has a coach. So if you need a coach for just running, don't you need a coach for studying Bhagavatam? Correct? Huh? So, yeah, RFL. Take responsibility for learning. Go to the verse number 3. Read that.
Attracted by the beauty and fortune of Rukmini, the daughter of King Bhishmak, many great princes and kings assembled to marry her. But Lord Krishna, stepping over the other hopeful candidates, carried her away as his own share, as Garuda carried away nectar.
Yeah. So from now onwards, there will be a series of verses. See, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. How the five queens attained Krishna. Like this is about Rukmini. The next verse is about Naganajiti. The third one is about Satyabhama. And then the fourth one is about Narakasura, I mean, that means Bhaumasura, and all the thousands of princesses. How the Lord married them all. That is a seventh verse. 8th verse also is talking about that. Up to the 9th and 10th verses, up to that. He's talking about that. So, I will just... So there is one chapter in Krishna book, very beautiful chapter, about the five queens. They are all talking about how they, each of them came to Krishna consciousness. How they attained Krishna as their husband. It's a very beautiful chapter it is. I have underlined some portion. I will only tell the... This is chapter number 57 in Krishna book. And he's asking what was the mood of the teachers when they were teaching Krishna. So I heard in Ramayana when Ram, Lakshman, Bharat, Shatrughna, these four were small kids, 5-year-old kids. They were sent to Gurukula, you know. So the Guru Vasishta, he took these four children to the ashrama, and in his cottage, inside the cottage, he gave them four asanas to sit, elevated asanas to sit. And they four were sitting. And Vasishta circumambulated them 3 times and then offered Ashtanga Pranam to them. And then he told Lord Ram, my dear Lord, what is your leela? What kind of leela is this? You are the Guru of the whole universe. And now you are asking your father that I should become your guru. I am ashamed. And then he said, but since you have taken this role of, Maryada Purushottam, you are coming to teach the human beings an ideal example. As a service to you, I will perform the duty of being your guru. Like that Vasishtha says. But the problem is whenever Vasishtha or anybody speaks like this to Lord, Lord will not give any answer. He will only smile. So, similarly you will find, Yeah, give the mic to him, please. To our Radha Pramod Prabhu.
So, Vasudeva and Devaki, they had a little difficulty got a teacher for Krishna because in that Mathura, everybody is a Vaishnava. Okay. So, they were not ready to tutor Krishna because they had to chastise. So, that's why they went to Ujjain, and Sandipan Muni was a Shaivite. So, he didn't mind to accept Krishna as a student. That's why Ujjain is actually Shiva place.
Amazing, huh? Very amazing, huh? Yeah, and in the same manner, our Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted Ishwarpuri, no? Not Ishwarpuri, that Keshav Bharati. There also, Keshav Bharati was asking, how can I give you the mantra? You are Supreme Lord. And Mahaprabhu said, I will tell you the mantra in your ear, and you repeat it, sir. So he gave the mantra to Ishwarpuri, which means, Keshav Bharati. Which means he initiated Keshav Bharati first, and then Keshav Bharati initiated him in sannyas, you see, for his pleasure. Similarly, I have heard my spiritual master speak about Ishwarpuri. Ishwarpuri is asking, you are asking me to initiate you. You are the Supreme Lord. Huh? I am your servant. And then Lord Chaitanya says, no, 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 you should initiate me. And then he says, as a service to you, to fulfill your order, I will initiate you. Like that he says. So we can see that the gurus of the Supreme Lord, they did it as a service to Lord. Otherwise, they were not in a mood of teaching the Lord. And they also got associated with the Lord so closely because Krishna was learning the 64 kalas, one kala every day. Daytime he will learn the kala, night he will practice. Second day, second kala. 64 days, 64 kalas he will learn. Very amazing. So, there are only, see, the marriage of Kalindi is explained here. When Arjuna was feeling very thirsty and tired, they went to the bank of Yamuna along with Krishna. They washed their hand and feet and mouths, and they drank the water of Yamuna. And then when they were relaxing under a tree, yeah, they saw a beautiful girl of marriageable age walking alone on the bank of Yamuna. And then Krishna asked his friend Arjuna, hey Arjuna, go and find out who she is. So Arjuna went and asked her about her whereabouts. And she said, sir, I am the daughter of, I am a Surya Putri. I am performing penance, you know, to attain Lord Vishnu as my husband. And then she is telling that I know that you are the hero Arjuna. And also, please know from me that I will not accept anyone as my husband besides Lord Vishnu, because he is the only protector of all living entities. So she is saying, I will be also thankful to you if you pray to Lord Vishnu to become pleased with me, because you are Lord's devotee, your prayer will be effective. She is telling like this. So when Arjuna, and then she told, my name is Kalindi, and I live within the water of Yamuna. And my father was kind enough to construct a special house for me in these waters. And I have vowed to remain in the water as long as I cannot find Lord Krishna, she said. So I am doing penance under the water. And then Arjuna told her, assured her, don't worry, Lord is there, a super soul in everyone's heart. That's why you are inspired now. I will very soon inform Krishna. So when he informed Krishna, Krishna immediately accepted Kalindi and asked her to sit down on his chariot and married and took her. So this is how Kalindi married Krishna. So, and Queen 2 is here. In the kings of Avantipur, known as Ujjain now, they were Vinda and Anuvinda. Both the kings were under the control of Duryodhana. They had one sister called Mitravinda. She was very qualified, learned, elegant. And she was the daughter of one of Krishna's aunts. That means she is also related to Krishna. She strongly desired to have Krishna as her husband. During the Swayamvar, Krishna carried her exactly as he carried Rukmini, in the same manner. And many princes fought with her. I mean, they were just watching, they were like dumbfounded. And Krishna took her and went. That is Mitravinda. And the third queen is Naginajiti. Naginajiti, her name is Naginajiti because the king's name is Naginajit. His daughter's name is Naginajiti. But her another name is Satya. So the king wanted to give his daughter in marriage to someone who can control 7 bulls. He had very, very powerful, very strong and stalwart bulls. In those days, if anybody wanted to marry somebody, they may have to control a bull. Generally, at least 1 bull. But this fellow had 7 bulls. If that is the situation, now nobody will get married in this day and age. With very powerful bulls. We have seen in villages, strong bulls they control. Because when you go near the bull, they will do like this with their horn. They subdue the bulls. So, no one in the princely order could defeat the 7 bulls. Therefore, no one could claim the hand of Satya. The 7 bulls were very strong. Nobody could... Actually, they could hardly bear even the smell of any prince. As soon as a prince would come, they would not allow them to come near only. They are very, very powerful. So, many, many princes approached and they could not subdue. They broke their hands, legs. They escaped for their life. So when Krishna heard that the Satya, when Krishna heard about this, with many soldiers he approached that part of the country known as Ayodhya. So this is a place called Koshala province. There she lived. So when the king of Koshala, Naginajit, came to know Krishna has come, he was very happy. With great respect and pomp he welcomed Krishna and he gave suitable sitting place and everything, reception, everything happened. And Krishna also offered respectful obeisances, thinking that, oh, he's my future father-in-law. When Satya understood Krishna had come, she was extremely pleased that the husband of Lakshmi has come and everything. So, she was thinking that I have been performing austerities to attain him. And now he has come, I am most pleased. So, Krishna was thinking, what is the need of subduing the bull? Anyway, my father-in-law already likes me. And Satya already is worshipping to attain me. So Krishna thought he can wave off this test for me. Either Krishna was thinking, that is said here. So, it's explained in length here, but I am only reading one section of it. See, my dear King Naginajit, you know very well that anyone in the princely order who is regular in position will never ask anything from anyone. Okay, it goes on. See, in other words, Krishna wanted the hand of Satya from the king without fulfilling the condition of defeating the 7 bulls. After hearing the statement of Krishna, Naginajit said, "My dear Lord, you are reservoir of all pleasure, all opulences and qualities. Lakshmiji always is in your chest. Under this circumstance, who can better be a husband for my daughter? Both myself and my daughter have always prayed for this opportunity. From the very beginning, I have made a vow to marry my daughter to a suitable candidate. One who can come out victorious in the test that I have devised, only they can marry. I have imposed this test just to understand the prowess and position of my intended son-in-law. I am sure you shall be able to bring the 7 bulls under control. Until now, none of the fellows have succeeded, but anyone who has attempted to bring them under control has simply broken his limbs." And then the king is saying, "Krishna, if you will kindly bridle the 7 bulls and bring them under control, you will be selected as a desired husband of my daughter." After hearing the statement, Krishna could understand that the king did not want to break his vow. Thus, in order to fulfill his desire, he tightened his belt and prepared to fight with the bulls. And he immediately divided himself into 7 Krishnas. And each one of them immediately caught hold of a bull and bridled its nose, thus bringing it under control, as if it were a plaything. It was known to Satya, the daughter of King Naginajit, that Krishna had already married many other wives and still she was attached to Krishna. In order to encourage her, he immediately expanded himself into 7 to show that, see, I have married 16,000 queens. I am expanding one for each of them. For you also, I will expand and come. I will be with you. Don't worry that only once in a year I will see you or something. The purport is that Krishna is one, but he has unlimited forms of expansion. He married many hundreds and thousands of wives, he says. While he was with one wife, the others were not bereft of his association, you see. Krishna could associate with each and every wife by his expansion. When Krishna brought the bulls under his control, their strength and pride were immediately smashed. The name and fame which the bulls had attained was thus vanquished. And then Nagnajit became astonished, greatly astonished. And then Satya got Krishna as her husband. So now some of you may have a question, why did Krishna first wanted, exemption from subduing the bulls? These are all done by Krishna, Prabhupada writes in that purport, just for increasing the sweetness of the pastime. So when devotees hear this, it produces ecstasy in their heart. When Krishna says, oh my dear father, my dear prospective father-in-law, I don't think I have to control the bulls. You know me, I know you anyway. Like that. Father-in-law says, no. You are after all husband of goddess of fortune. You are reservoir of all six opulences. You can easily do it. Then he's requesting. So, in this way, the different queens are explained. Then there is Bhadra, who is also another aunt, his father's sister. Father's sister, whose name is Shrutakirti. Shrutakirti's daughter is Bhadra. And then in the Madras province, there was one Lakshmana. So, in this way, these different queens talk about, there is one chapter in the 10th canto, very, very beautiful chapter, where the queens are all sitting, where they spoke this, in the Kurukshetra, because Draupadi asked them about each of the queens, how did you marry? So that is what is explained in this, 3 to 7, this is the explanation about each of them, how they all got. So Uddhava is remembering how each of the queens were married to the Lord. One beauty of the Lord's marriages, some people may hear this as just like an information. Okay, so Krishna married this wife, he took one wife and Rukmini and fled from there. But if you read these pastimes, you will see the Lord's prowess is the extraordinary power becomes evident. Each of these pastimes. For example, for controlling the 7 bulls, which were never controlled by anyone else, just like Lord Rama could break the bow, which none of the other kings could break. Similarly, Krishna subdues the 7 tenacious bulls, which no one else could control. Similarly, he kills Bhaumasura, Narakasura, who had an electrified periphery. And the whole fort was electrified. Nobody could. Of course, apart from the electric wiring, he also had done, there were also water bodies in which man-eating crocodiles were there. So Krishna just flew over this very easily on Garuda, along with Satyabhama. First he killed Mura demon, and then he went in, and then when he attacked Bhaumasura, many other demons came also. He defeated all of them. Otherwise, there is no history of anyone else saving those 16,000 princesses. Of course, saving them is one part, but after saving them, they all said, oh Krishna, we are all rejected women now because we have been touched by Bhaumasura and our parents won't accept us. And nobody in society will marry us. So we are like a rejected lot. And Krishna asked, then what can I do for you? They said, please, you marry us. And Lord said, all right. Immediately married all of them. That is even more bigger thing. To say all right is more easy. But to marry them, give them saris, give them ornaments, give them a palace, and also to expand oneself. Prabhupada says some Muslim kings married 160 queens in Mughal time in India. But the king could go meet each queen only twice a year. He has to, just like taking appointment and going and meeting them, correct? No? He could meet, because 160 into 2 is how much? Yeah, you only have 365 days in a year, no? He can only see them twice. But Prabhupada says, he had 160 queens, Krishna had 16,000 queens, still he was with them every day. Correct, no? That is Lord's prowess. So Prabhupada quotes it in his lecture when he is talking about it. So, these are all vibhutis of the Lord, opulences of the Lord. How magnificent are his opulences. And in Dwaraka, he gives each of them one palace. And every queen thinks that Krishna is only with me. That is another amazing reciprocation feeling he gives to everyone. It's not out of pride they think like that. They think that the Lord loves me so much. He is only with me. Same thing the coward boys felt when they were sitting with Krishna in a circle and eating prasad. Everyone felt Krishna is sitting right in front of me. And he is looking at me and he is sharing my lunch packet. So in rasa dance also every gopi thought Krishna is only with me. But you will find one Krishna between every two gopis. Correct, no? He had expanded himself like this. So by hearing about the Lord's opulence, our affection for him will increase. So therefore each of the queens, just as the Lord snatches a queen from the vicious elements like Shishupal, Jarasandha and all such people, similarly we all in our life also, we have to pray to the Lord that you please snatch us away from the from the snare of Maya, from the allurements offered by Maya. Snatch me away. So for that we can also pray that please intensify my desire to attain you as my husband, as my pati. Because Lord's name is Satvatam Pati. He's a devotee, is a husband of all the devotees. So one should, because we are Prakriti, Prakriti is always feminine. The Prakriti should pray to Purusha that please, just as you snatched Rukmini or you snatched Bhadra and others, you snatch me away from Maya. I am right now trapped by Maya. So that kind of prayer you can offer. And when Lord snatches his own Shakti and takes the Shakti with him, devotees feel a great jubilation that now the Shaktiman is with the Shakti together. So in this way Uddhava is very fondly remembering the Lord's pastimes of Dwaraka queens. Yeah. See in the purport to verse 8. Read the translation.
All those princes were lodged in different apartments and the Lord simultaneously assumed different bodily expansions exactly matching each and every princess. He accepted their hands in perfect rituals by his internal potency.
Yeah. So in the verse number 6, he's talking about Narakasura. And then in the purport of that, he explains about something important he says. Read the purport of 6.
It is said in other Puranas that Narakasura was the son of Dharitri, the earth by the Lord himself. But he became a demon due to the bad association of Bana, another demon. An atheist called a demon, and it is a fact that even a person born of good parents can turn into a demon by bad association. Birth is not always the criterion of goodness. Unless and until one is trained in the culture of good association, one cannot become good.
Yeah. There are so many congregation devotees whose children in childhood get a lot of wonderful Krishna conscious association. They are wearing tilak. They are coming to the temple, bowing down before the deities. They are very innocent and simple. But over time, when they grow beyond 8 or 10 or 12 years of age, that association has to be watched. What type of association they keep. Because after 13, they give more weight to the peer association. They don't care for parents so much. So if their peer association is good, then they become very good. In Bombay, we have this Dayal Chandra Prabhu's two sons. I have seen them from very early days. They had very good peer association. So then they very naturally take to devotional service. So you will find Narakasya Saka Kashchit Duvido Nama Vanaraha. There's one verse. Duvida became a friend of Narakasura, Bhaumasura. And Bhaumasura became friends with Banasura. Because of Banasura's company, Bhaumasura became spoiled. Because of Bhaumasura's company, Duvida, he became spoiled. So all these fellows spoiled one another, if you see. Therefore, it's all bad association that spoils one. Even if one has a high birth also, like the Prabhupada says. Good point. So, come to verse number 10. In the verse number 8, Prabhupada says that if you see below, last few lines, the forms into which the Lord expanded to marry the princesses in different apartments were all slightly different, just to match each and every one of them. They are called Vaibhava Vilas forms of the Lord. Because the 16,000 princesses who were put in jail of Bhamasura, some of them were short princes, so Krishna also became short for them. Some of them were tall, so Krishna became tall for them. Some of them must have been little hefty, so he also became little hefty. Correct, no? So, yeah. Actually, you to match them. Sometimes you see husband, wife, they look exactly made for each other. Correct, no? So that match is also seen. Husband is supposed to be taller than the wife. Correct, no? The wife is a little supposed to be shorter. So Krishna expanded his form, but not mechanically expanded. All Krishnas are the same size only. They are all short and tall. It's not like that. You understand? No? Like the Prabhupada says. Exactly to match. So they are called Vaibhava Vilas forms. Generally, when the marriage matching is done, they see all these things. Correct, no? So Lord also, for him to do it is not very difficult. He is not a mechanical expander. He is a suitable expander. And then in 9 he says, just to expand himself according to his transcendental features. And then Lord begot children in each of them. And then he goes to 10th one, we can come now. Read the translation.
Kalayavan, the king of Magadha and Salva, attacked the city of Mathura. But when the city was encircled by their soldiers, the Lord refrained from killing them personally, just to show the power of his own men.
Yeah, this comes in the, I think, after the 53rd chapter or something, Muchukunda's chapter comes in the 10th canto. Very beautiful description. See, when Kalayavana was attacking, two fellows were attacking. Jarasandha was attacking, Kalayavana was attacking, same time. So, the Lord, at the same time, had a third thing to do. The Lord also wanted to shower his mercy on Muchukunda, who was sleeping in a gufa. Correct? No? So, the Lord at that time walked out of the city. And Kalayavana was surprised. Kalayavana was sitting in a chariot chasing after Krishna, and Krishna Balaram were walking. So you will find Kalayavana chases after Krishna. That's a very beautiful description. And then Krishna enters into a gufa, and Kalayavana goes behind. So here he says, just to show the power of his own men, he says, the Lord refrained from killing them personally. Because here Prabhupada writes a very interesting point in the purport. See, Kalayavana, Jarasandha, Shalva. In all these cases, the Lord seemingly fled from the city when Mathura was encircled by the soldiers. And then he writes below, Lord wanted to kill them through the agency of his own men, devotees like Muchukunda and devotees like Bhima. Who killed Jarasandha? Bhima. Who killed Kalayavana? Muchukunda. Like that he is saying. By such acts, the Lord wanted to exhibit, read that. By such acts,
the Lord wanted to exhibit the prowess of his devotees as if he were personally unable to fight, but his devotees could kill them. The relationship of the Lord with his devotees is a very happy one. Actually, the Lord descended at the request of Brahma in order to kill all the undesirables of the world. But to divide the share of glory, he sometimes engaged his devotees to take the credit. The battle of Kurukshetra was designed by the Lord himself. But just to give credit to his devotee Arjuna, Nimitta Matram Bhava Savya Sachin, he played the part of the charioteer, while Arjuna was given the chance to play the fighter and thus become the hero of the battle of Kurukshetra. What he wants to do himself by his transcendental plans, he executes through his confidential devotees. That is the way of the Lord's mercy towards his pure, unalloyed devotees.
This is in the Rudra Gita also I heard that this is actually the quality of Krishna which is most adored, that he always likes to give credit to his devotees. In the Kurukshetra battlefield, he never lifted the weapon. He made Arjuna lift the weapon. And he openly tells Arjuna, Tasmatma Uttishta Yasho Labhasva. What is the meaning of Yasho Labhasva? You take the credit. You fight the battle. But for your kind information, Mayaiva Yete Nihitaha Purvameva. I have already killed all these fellows before. But now I want you to kill them again. In my Visharupa you will see they are all entering my mouth. But now you become an instrument and you do the work, he is saying. Already it is arranged, but you have to just do the work. Sometimes you will see somebody above you has already made all arrangements. But you have to make the final entry in the, you know, notebook or something, and then when you go, the key is given to you, the room is ready, you know, all the facilities are ready. But what we do is very little work we have to do. After which, you understand what I am saying? Similarly, the Lord has made all the arrangements. Arjuna has to do just sending that arrow as an instrument, that's all. Bhavasavya Sachin, he says. So, Lord wanted to, just as parents like to praise their children, more greater than themselves. Like some parents say, see, I am just a village man, but my son is an engineer. Engineer ban gaya. Some parents say, you know, our son, they have gone to America. We are simple people, but our son is a very intelligent boy. Like that they say. So, do you ever think father says that, you know, maybe he went to America, but he is not as intelligent as me. Any father will argue like that? They will never do that. Parents very naturally feel, you know, children are more intelligent than themselves. They feel like that. And why that feeling comes? What is the basis of the feeling? Love. And that love is the basis of that feeling. Similarly, there are innumerable examples to cite this. I heard the story how when Lord Ram saw Hanuman was writing Lord Rama's names in stones and putting it in the ocean. And Lord thought, really? How can stones float? I never heard it. I only know that the stones drown. But the Lord wanted to test whether it works for him. So the night he got up. And then the Lord picked up a stone and he also tried to put it in water. But Hanuman was hiding behind a tree and watching what the Lord is doing. When the Lord put the stone drowned. So Hanuman loudly laughed. And then the Lord understood Hanuman is around. So Hanuman told the Lord, my dear Lord, why these stones are floating? Because I have written Ram Nam. But if you drop somebody, that fellow will get adogati only. He has no hope only. If you only give up somebody. Like that he said, therefore the stone drowned, he said. See, you hear this type of pastimes. Why? Because the Lord doesn't feel ashamed in front of his devotee that he couldn't do something. I need a Setuban while Hanuman can jump over Lanka. He doesn't feel that. Therefore, in the song, in one of the songs which is Navindra Maharaj's favorite song, we sing, Jis Sagar Ko Bina Setu Ke Fand Sake Nahi Ram Kud Gaye Hanuman Usi Me Leke Ram Ka Naam Hari Se Bada Hari Ka Naam. This is, you will see, this principle repeats in Haridas Thakur's case. Mahaprabhu chanted 1 lakh, 2 lakh names some days. But he made his devotee chant how many? 3 lakh names. And he called him? Ramacharya. So, this is a repeating theme you will see in the Mahabharata, Ramayana, and also in Bhagavatam also. When Jarasandha was killed by Bhima, no? How did he kill Jarasandha? Every time he killed Jarasandha, body was getting cut, and that he would attach again. Again, Jarasandha would get up and attack Bhima. Again, it happened several times. And then Krishna showed him, see, this fellow's mother was one Rakshasi, who got these two separate bodies and she connected them. Jarasandha. That's why his name became Jarasandha. So he said, you should cut the body and put it like this. Then they cannot attach. Then Bhima cut the body and put it like this. Then he couldn't attach. So the idea was given by whom? But when they went back to report to Yudhishthir, Krishna told Bhima, you go in the front. And then next to him he told Arjuna, you go. Then Krishna went third behind them. So first Yudhishthir saw Bhima. Because Jarasandha was the only fellow who was not willing to subdue himself in front of Yudhishthir during Rajasuya. Horse. So, when Bhima told, done, job is done, then Yudhishthir felt very happy. There Jiva Goswami writes, why Krishna went third? Because he was feeling shy that Yudhishthir Maharaj will praise him too much. He didn't want to be overly praised. So therefore he remained behind. That's one reason he gives. Another reason he gives, you know, Krishna wanted to give the full credit of killing Jarasandha to whom? Now in our life, for example, 2-3 of us jointly have done some service. You know, if some senior is praising one of the devotees, keep it down only. If one of the devotees is being praised, you know, then some another devotee may also say, Prabhu, actually he did it, but we two are also there, you know. you know, we did this and I did this. That is due to insecurity. Because we feel that, you know, my name will be forgotten. That kind of fear is there. Whereas Lord has no fear. He is giving full credit to Bhima. He never told Yudhishthira, I only told how to put the body this way, that way. He didn't say like that. So, that is what is highlighted here. The Lord's tendency to glorify His devotees and share the credit with them. It's a very sweet relationship. So, here He gives the example of Arjuna, He gives. So, 11 also. Read the 11 translation.
Of things like Sambra, Dvivida, Bana, Mura, Balvala and many other demons such as Dantavakra, some He killed Himself and some He caused to be killed by others, Sri Baladeva, etc.
Yeah. Like you see, when Bhima was hitting Duryodhana on the thigh, that idea was given by whom? Krishna gave the idea. Similarly, when Arjuna had to subdue Shiva, Shiva and Arjuna, they both have a tussle, and because when they both were hitting an arrow on a pig, so because Lord Shiva was not looking like Shiva, he was looking like a scavenger, scavenger's dress. That time Arjuna also sent the arrow. So Arjuna said, I hit the pig, you know. Shiva in the form of a scavenger said, I hit the pig. So they both had a tussle, and then they both said, let us see who is more stronger out of the two. Then they both had a malyuddha. So, and then in that, Arjuna wins, and then Shiva is amazed by Arjuna's strength and everything. He appreciates him, and then he shows him the form of Shiva. And then he gives him Pashupatastra. But the original seed idea was given by Krishna only. This is how you should approach Shiva. And then you should get Pashupatastra from him. And also, who told Arjuna to get the 5 arrows from Bhishma? Krishna only. You will see that. So, like this, and who told Indra to go and get the Kavacha Kundalas of Karna? Yeah. So Krishna's hand is everywhere. He's all pervading practically in Mahabharata. But you find he is simply a charioteer. Silently. Absolutely doesn't come to the limelight. Doesn't want to take the credit. So this is a very miraculous quality. That he wants to do everything. He wants to serve in all possible ways. But he doesn't take the credit. So like that, that is the main point here. In 10 and 11. He caused to be killed by others, like Baladeva. Read, then we go to 12. Sorry.
12th
one. Huh? No, not 12th, just read the translation.
Then, O Vidura, the Lord caused all the kings, both the enemies and those on the side of your fighting nephews, to be killed in the battle of Kurukshetra. All those kings were so great and strong that the earth seemed to shake as they traversed the war field.
And the next verse, there is some important point coming up. So you read the translation of 13.
Duryodhana was bereft of his fortune and duration of life because of the intricacy of ill advice given by Karna, Dushasana and Saubala. When he lay on the ground with his followers, his thighs broken, although he was powerful, the Lord was not happy to see the scene.
See, Lord did not laugh to see that, you know, gone now, Duryodhana is finished now. Lord was not happy, it says. Read the purport.
The fall of Duryodhana, the leading son of Dhritarashtra.
Okay, it goes on. I'll tell you which point to read. The Lord is constrained to award punishment.
The Lord is constrained to award punishment upon the wrongdoer, but He is not happy to award such punishments because the living entities are originally His parts and parcels. He is harder than the thunderbolt for the wrongdoer and softer than the rose for the faithful. The wrongdoer is misled by bad associates and by ill advice, which is against the established principles of the Lord's order, and thus he becomes subject to punishment. The surest path to happiness is to live by the principles laid down by the Lord and not disobey His established laws, which are enacted.
Therefore you find Lord Ram telling Sugriva that, you know, Sakradevi prapannoyam tavasmiti achate abhayam sarvada dasmai dadami etat vratam mama. My principle is, as soon as somebody surrenders to me, I will forgive them. And then he is telling, therefore I accept Vibhishan, you know. as my servant in our army, and I have no suspicion. I trust him, the Lord said. And then he said, I will make Vibhishan the king of Lanka, he said. And then the Lord said, if Ravana comes to me now and surrenders to me, I will forgive him also. So which goes to show the biggest heart of Ram. He is not taking any offense towards Ravana also. If he hands over Sita and surrenders to me, I will not kill him also. Then naturally Sugriva asked, my dear Lord, if you are going to make Vibhishan the Lanka Naresh, then Ravana will be postless. What will you do for him? The Lord said, I will make him king of Ayodhya, he said. If he becomes surrendered to me now, I will make him king of Ayodhya, he said. So this kind of behavior of the Lord shows that he has never closed his doors to the demons. His doors are always open. And he is ever forgiving, even to the demons who have committed extreme atrocities. And sometimes the demons have to be... See, the killing of the demons by the Lord should be understood like this. Prabhupada explains in one purport. He says, sometimes your vyadi is not so much. You take some little tablet, it's gone. But sometimes the disease is so bad that a boil in your hand, you know, it has gone very deep and it is very big. And the doctor understands that the medicine is not working. Any medicine you give is not working. It's continuing and the pain is also continuing. Then the doctor will decide to perform surgery. So the demons are like that. Demons are like gone case, we can say. They are gone in what sense? They will not surrender to the Lord. They will not take good advice. Vinash Kale, they are that. So, in that case, what Lord has to do? Then sometimes the demons utilize all their facility to ripen their ill behavior. It ripens. So, Lord's killing of the demons is equal to what? Performing surgery. That is the only way. Now you may ask, what is the benefit of that? Now after cutting the boil, you know, then one becomes free from the pain. Correct, no? Pain is also gone, disease is also gone. Correct, no? But the demon go where? They go to Brahma Jyoti. And Lord gives them the same position given to jnanis also. Is it not a very exalted position? And then in the liberated position, they can begin devotional service if they change their attitude again. When they fall back, they have a chance. So here also Lord is looking at Duryodhana, but he was not happy. Why he was not happy? The Lord thought, this foolish Duryodhana didn't cooperate with Yudhishthira. If Yudhishthira becomes king of the world, will Yudhishthira rule the whole world himself? He's going to divide it amongst his brothers as well as Kauravas. Yudhishthira was always amicably related to Kauravas. He never had enmity for them. But Duryodhana's greed was unlimited. Lord felt pity for him. Lord was unhappy and Lord felt pity. Because for Krishna, all jivas are his children, whether they are demons or whether they are devotees or demigods. Even the demons, Lord sees them as children. Can you say any other instance where the Lord felt similar pity for a demon, you know, after he has misused his powers and then he saw the demon suffering and the Lord felt pity? Yeah, Ravana. One of the days, Ravana gets so thoroughly defeated, he's almost about to be killed. And Lord Ram, the last arrow of the Lord sends, Ravana would be killed. But Lord put the, you know, bow and arrow down. And he told Ravana, my dear Ravana, although you are defeated today, I will give you one more chance. Go back today and come tomorrow, the Lord says. Indru poi naalai varai. He's saying, what is the meaning of that? You go today and come back tomorrow. But what is the meaning of this go today? Don't come as the same Ravana, come with a changed heart. That is the meaning. Therefore, I'm giving you one last chance. The Lord didn't want to kill him. He wanted to give him one last chance. But this fellow came back tomorrow with the same heart only. Isn't it? He didn't have a change of heart. But that goes to show his compassion, you see. He shows his great heart. Now we should have compassion for your bellies. You have to take prasadam now. So take prasadam. Srila Prabhupada ki.